This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, it dawns on me, and our thanks again to Brett Boone. Been a really good show so far this morning. Dawned on me that when Woodsy is not here, that the entire show is essentially a Rindle report.
Yeah, a little bit.
Because you got to step up your game even more and fill some of Woodsy's shoes while he's gone with the content and the commentary throughout. So we don't really need to do necessarily a Rindle report per se. Because you're already chiming in with
I would have just wanted to play all the calls.
Scoops and stories.
Anyways.
I mean, if you're dying to tell me about, you know, the contract extension for DJ Moore and the Bears, we could get into that at
some
point.
I'm not sure that would have even made the Rindle report. Might have talked a little about the Olympics.
Yeah, you know what? There was
some excitement yesterday.
I watched Simone Biles and Team USA Gymnastics when I got home yesterday with my wife. She cried. Watching Simone Biles and the team win the gold, and then I started kind of getting a little teary, because when your wife cries, it sort of makes you emotional as well. I get it. I mean, after what happened in Tokyo 3 years ago, and, you know, when she had the mental health crisis and she had to walk away, to come back is courageous and
she's
to perform
star,
and do what she does. But watching the floor exercise, and I watched a couple of the other women go, and they're amazing. You know, they jump in the air and do these flips and land it, and you go, that's incredible. Then Simone Biles goes, and she is like jumping twice as high as everybody else. It's freakish. It's amazing. I mean, what she can do on that mat is unbelievable. I mean, I don't know how tall. I mean, all those gymnasts are tiny. Like, what, 5'2" tops?
Yeah, I feel Simone like she Biles could, is 4'8".
4'8". I feel like she could dunk a basketball. I mean, 4'8", but she gets up so high. And I know there's a little bit of a spring on that floor mat, but not like, it's not a trampoline.
Right?
It's not a vault. It's still just a mat with just kind of a springy underneath. She gets up there like it's ridiculous. So I watched that. I watched
the end of the rugby match.
That was amazing. So that those women are they train in Chula Vista, and there's two San Diegans on the team. And if it, like in football terms, they were down a touchdown or like down 5 points. So down a touchdown with like the final play of the game. And they have the ball essentially like on their own 5 yard line and they have to go the distance and otherwise the game's over and they lose. And the one woman breaks a double tackle and then just sprints off, you know, Tony Dorsett style all the way across the field. All the way to score the try, and then they got to kick the extra point, essentially, to win it as a walk-off to win the bronze medal. First ever medal in rugby for any USA rugby team. And they're from San Diego, which was really cool. The soccer team advanced to the quarterfinals with a 3-0 win over Guinea yesterday. And there's a lot more today. Swimming, obviously, continuing. USA basketball, South Sudan.
He's got big money
up.
On that one.
Yeah, he's got big money on the U.S. to cover 29.5 points, I believe, against the team they beat by one like 5 days ago. So we'll see how that goes for Woodsy. But yeah, there's pretty much your Rondo Report. So there just took care of it in the first three answered. Minutes of this hour. We've got our roundtable coming up, presented by Roundtable Pizza at 10 o'clock, commercial free. Paulie, you will not be a part of that. You're filling in for Woods here, but Sammy will be filling in for Woods on the roundtable with Annie and Elston and Gwynn and Chris as we talk about the trade deadline and the Padres going into the final 2 months of the season.
I know he was down there obviously yesterday. Late. A lot of pregame conversations that he had in the clubhouse with guys. Saw some of the videos that he posted on Instagram yesterday, like Luis Arraez. Like do you see his face light up when they asked him about Tanner Scott coming? He's like, oh, yeah, I he's my best friend. He's like, I can't wait to be on his team again. Like, I don't know if he's going to be here today, or maybe I got to wait till tomorrow, but I can't wait. Like, he was beaming.
I mean, after hearing Skip Schumacher's scouting report, it sounds like everybody loves Tanner Scott.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see him. I'm excited to see Jason Adam get into a game. They didn't use him yesterday. I'd imagine with the bullpen usage last night, though, Adam and Scott will be key in tonight's game at some point for the Padres with a day off tomorrow. I would expect both of those guys perhaps to make their Padres debut tonight in game two against the Dodgers at 5:40. 4:40 EcoWater SoCal pregame show. So Sammy's got a busy day with the roundtable going all the way to the pregame show. But I also listened to his postgame show because I wanted to hear Jesse's calls, including the walk-off by Donovan Solano. And we've collected all the walk-off calls. Now, remember, it was a very interesting ninth inning that led up, or the tenth inning that led up to the walk-off by Donovan Solano. Robert Suarez, top of the inning, just absolute shutdown. Doesn't let the Dodgers score the runner at second base. So Ha-Sung Kim made the last out of the ninth. So he's placed out on second. So you got good speed out there. Kyle Higashioka is coming up. And I saw it suggested on Twitter. In fact, it might be from the now infamous and famous Giannis, who said, I would actually pinch hit Donovan Solano here. Even though Higgy's been pretty clutch and he's right-handed, Donovan's just been so good. Give him a chance right away. Well, they didn't. And I think that worked out for Mike Schilt because they pitched around Kyle Higashioka. They didn't intentionally walk him, but the first three pitches weren't that close. They obviously they didn't mind putting him on first base. They wanted to set up the potential double play and the force. So that brought up Luis Arraez, Mr. Base Hit, Mr. Contact, already had a walk-off single against the Dodgers earlier this season on an amazing Friday night, one of the other amazing games. But Mike Schilt didn't give him the chance to walk it off. Instead, called for the bunt there against Alex Vezia, fouled one off, then got it down and moved the runners to second and third. And in my mind, I instantly thought, I don't know about this. Here's what I would then do if I'm Dave Roberts. I would intentionally walk Jurickson Profar, the very relevant Jurickson Profar. I'm not going to give him another chance to beat me. So I'm going to walk him to load the bases, set up a potential inning-ending double play, or at least a force at home on a ground ball for the lefty-lefty matchup, Jake Cronenworth against Vesey. Now, Crony's had big at-bats against Vesey, including a very famous one in the rain in the playoffs, if I remember correctly. But it's still lefty-lefty, and you hit a hard grounder to first or second. You're ending the inning, you're going to the 11th. It's not exactly the matchup I want, but you're not going to pinch hit your number three hitter in that situation, right? No. Mike Schilt says, yeah, we are going to pinch hit Donovan Solano for Jake Cronenworth, which is okay. That's bold. That is a bold decision by Mike Schilt. Is it going to pay off for him with Donnie Barrels, who has only played like one game since the All-Star break? You know, he's been sitting there on the bench waiting to be used. Is he still hot? Do we have any idea what Donovan Solano is going to do? He falls behind in the count 1-2. I'm going, oh, God, this is not going to work out. And then, of course, he walks it off. Now, before that, as he's coming to the plate, Dave Roberts sends out his pitching coach like, oh, we need to give you the scouting report on Donovan Solano. We weren't necessarily expecting. Yeah, Mark Pryor goes out. We need to give Vezzy the scouting report here. And then it seemed like Dave thought, well, maybe I need to make a pitching change. Now, I didn't think about that. So he tries to then, after Mark Pryor goes out, to go out and make a pitching change. But you can't do that. You have to either make the change or let the batter face the pitcher there. Let the pitcher face the batter. And Dave Roberts actually talked about it after the game on Spectrum Sportsnet.
Can you explain just, he had a lot of questions about kind of what happened with the umpires and then calling the ball there. Just, I guess, what did they explain to you, I guess?
The one I went out there is I just wanted to clarify that Mark went out there to talk to Alex after they pinch hit Solano, and I was asking if I could bring in Evan at that moment, and then once he already visited, then he's got to face a hitter. So, yeah.
Getting an intentional walk counts as facing a hitter.
Correct.
So you're saying you didn't know the rule, or yeah. You did, but
he's
you
explaining,
were hoping that maybe they would just let you have a freebie or something there?
He kind of explained to us the rule as if that wasn't super common knowledge.
I don't know. I mean, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but you weren't clarifying that Mark Pryor went out. Mark Pryor definitely went out and talked to Vesey.
You didn't go out there to ask the manager, hey, I wasn't looking. Did my pitching coach actually just go out there? You were not clarifying.
You sent him out there. He definitely was standing out there for a
you were going out to make a move, and the umpires stopped you.
Talking. Now, maybe you weren't ready to bring in Phillips, and you were trying to stall, and you went with, hey, Mark Pryor, go out and stall, and then when he went out there, you realized, well, now I can't bring him in, and he's got to face Solano, the bases are loaded, and I got nowhere to put him. What am I going to do? Well, maybe I'll just go out and ask the umpire anyway. What's the worst thing that can happen? Well, he did get charged with a pitch clock violation. For just stalling the game for no reason. They say, you can't change your pitcher, and we got to at least ding you for something. So you've taken too long. It's now 1-0, the count on at least Donovan Solano. I don't know if that changed the at-bat or not, but I'm sure Vezia wasn't all that happy. So, okay, I got to face this guy and behind the count 1-0. Thanks a lot.
Cool.
Thanks a lot, Doc, to my manager for doing that and putting me in the hole. He did battle back. As I said, he was ahead. But then we know what happened, and we've got all the calls here for you.
Where do we want to start?
Let's get to him.
It's been a while since
let's start with Jesse.
Padres wrap up. We'll start with the great Jesse Agler.
Ball in, two strikes. Here's the pitch on the way. Solano swings, hits a ground ball past the dive of Hernandez down the left field line to win it. Kim scores. Solano walks it off, and the Padres come back from a 5-0 deficit to beat the Dodgers in 10.
This team has no quit in them at all. Down 5-0 in the first. Chip away, tie it in the ninth, win it in the tenth.
Excellent. Excellent call, both Tony Gwynn Jr. and Jesse Agler. Then, of course, there was the TV call. Maybe one of Don's best.
I'd put it on the Mount Rushmore of Don
it's
Orsillo calls.
It's possible.
We get like one, maybe two a year, it feels like. I mean, into a sea of San Diegans.
You know, sometimes when it's a home run, it's a sea of San Diegans, and you play the hits, but this was different. This was a grounder down the line. This was great.
So fired up.
Solano on the ground to left! Kim's coming from third! The Dodgers had a 5-0 lead! Not anymore! Padres walk it off!
Unbelievable.
Oh,
short,
that man
sweet,
can get
and
excited.
To the point, but my God, did he hammer it.
That man can muster excitement like really no one else. It's absolutely fantastic. All right, let's go the other side of the coin.
All right.
Got the sad calls or call.
Joe Davis, man of few words. Also, again, kind of tough to hear him with the roar of the crowd.
We established earlier their TV audio mix, much worse than the Padres audio mix.
This is 1-2 pitch. Padres win. Donovan Solano with a pinch hit base hit down the left field line. And after they led 5-0, they lose 6-5.
All true. Yeah. Got the facts, just the facts, ma'am. And let's go out and go back to our hotel for the night and just scrub this one.
The Dodgers radio team, they painted the picture a little bit more.
They were more sad on the Jackson Merrill home run. I wonder if they were more sad on this one.
Vesey is stretching. Left-hander ready to fire. Here comes the 1-2. Swing on ground ball. Ball game's over. Third base side. Pass Kike Hernandez. And the Padres come all the way back. It's a pinch hit, walk-off hit for Donovan Solano. Padres win it 6-5. The Dodgers had a 5-0 lead and let it slip away. Two home runs in the bottom of the ninth. One by Machado, another by Merrill. And Solano off the bench after watching all night. Gets a base hit down the third baseline and wins the game for San Diego.
You couldn't even get Donovan Solano out after he's just been sitting there all night? Come on, what are you guys doing?
Not even paying attention. all right, time for the foreign calls. We've got just the Spanish call. I could not find.
Oh, we had such a great Korean call of the Korean call. I know we're kind of at the mercy of what gets posted out there.
I've been asked a few times, like, Paulie, where do you find these Korean calls? Like, I want to watch a whole game that way. I don't.
Hope someone posts it on Twitter.
Woods
somewhere.
Usually sends me. Yeah. There's like one guy, Joseph, on Twitter that posts all these Korean highlights, but he's been kind of quiet lately. He did post the Merrill one. That's how we were able to find that one.
And then he went to sleep, apparently.
He missed the more exciting one. But
we got Eddie, though.
I've been looking to try to find like the Korean feeds, and it's very difficult. You have to be like in Korea on an Android phone. It's an Android app.
Eduardo, we thought, had the best call of the
Here's
Merrill.
Here's Eduardo's Merrill
tying
call.
Home run. Again,
here it is. 22. Lanzamiento, palo por la derecha. Se puede empatar el juego. Esa bola vuela. Se va. Sí, sí, sí. A la calle. Jackson en acción. Merrill empata el juego en la novena entrada y los Padres vuelven.
So good. He was starting to like test the limits of the microphone there on the headset. So that was in the bottom of the ninth. What did it sound like in the bottom of the tenth? Eduardo Ortega on the call. Enjoy.
Es un momento importantísimo para el juego. Se prepara el zurdo, Bestia para la goma. Roba en la línea. Se acabó el juego. Ganaron los Padres. Se van. Viva Colombia. Barranquillero deja en el terreno los Dodgers con una rola entre el guante de Kike Hernández y la almohadilla en la esquina caliente. Ganaron los Padres 6-5. Caballo que alcanza gana.
Get that man a new headset.
They're gonna need a
new... It cannot handle peak Eduardo Ortega. No. Oh. My ears are stinging here from the overmodulation.
I tried to turn it down. Now imagine it's 4:45 in the morning and you're pulling that. You're like, whoa, okay, I'm awake.
We're not even in a neighborhood and I'm worried that we wake up the neighbors Oh, fantastic. Padres win it 6-5 in walk-off fashion. So that's now 8 wins in their last 9 games. And they were one hit away from essentially a 9-game winning streak if they could have pulled off the rest of that comeback on Sunday that fell just a little bit short. Then again, there's a couple of games could have gone the other way. I mean, you need some breaks, obviously, to put together a long winning streak. But Padres got the win, and it was pretty big because, as I told you yesterday, I've started doing some scoreboard watching. And it was a big one. We'll talk about the rest of the National League pennant race and a little more. Jesse Agler had the Incorporator, song lyric Incorporator, for the first time in the game yesterday. We'll get to that coming up. First, a check of traffic and then more. Bennett Woods on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, it's been a busy and fun morning when it takes us 3 hours and 23 minutes to get to the Incorporator payoff from yesterday. But Jesse, we had him on in his normal Tuesday slot. But instead of a weird vocabulary word, which we've been doing for the last several years with Jesse on Incorporator Tuesdays, we do you still have the play-by-play from
the, setup. It's
the minor league? Okay, so yeah. So we set it up
it doesn't
you.
Have the it doesn't have the setup, but well, I have the setup, but it
doesn't have the play-by-play. Yes. So we listened to a minor league broadcaster for whatever reason, just started dropping Carry On My Wayward Son lyrics into a home run call. Didn't really make a ton of sense.
Like, and it's a deep fly ball to right field, and that ball is carry on my wayward son.
There'll be peace when you are done.
He sounded kind of depressed.
Wasn't sure.
Doing it. Like he lost a bet.
But it gave us the idea to freshen things up with Jesse that we could do Incorporator song lyrics. And well, since we had just heard a Kansas song and a minor league broadcaster try to do it, here was our challenge to Jesse. So I thought, okay, let's freshen up the Incorporator. Let's have Jesse incorporate a song lyric, a line into the game somewhere tonight. Doesn't have to be on a home run call like that guy. You can do better than that. I know you can. And we took a lot of suggestions, but I saw one. I thought, well, it makes perfect sense. That was Carry On My Wayward Son by Kansas. So you're going to incorporate a Kansas lyric into tonight's game. And your lyric is,
all we are is dust in the wind.
All we are is dust in the wind. That, instead of a vocabulary word, is your Incorporator lyric for tonight.
You on board? This is cool?
Love it.
I like that he was enthusiastic about it. Now, who knew what the game was going to be like? That's always, you fall behind, all of a sudden it's no longer, you don't want to have a lot of fun when you're down 5-0, but then when the comeback's on, you're like locked into the game. Where did he end up trying to get this in?
We go to the top of the sixth inning.
Okay.
So what was the score? Was it
5-3, I think.
5-3 still?
For a while there, yeah.
All right, top of the sixth inning. They had just come back from a commercial break.
1-2, hit in the air, foul out of play right
side. And you want to be playing, don't get me wrong, you want to be playing well enough early to be able to stay in the thick of things, but you want your best baseball to come this time of the year, second half of the season.
Yeah, the reality is if you're pitching great in September and October, any struggles you might have had in April and May are nothing but dust in the wind.
That's right.
1-2 to Teoscar Hernandez leading off here in the top of the sixth inning.
Too easy.
Tony. Yeah, that's right. That's
the reality is if you're pitching great in September and October, any struggles you might have had in April and May are nothing but dust in the wind.
That's right.
Now,
how do we think he did?
I mean, I'm going to give him a B+. I wanted the whole line. All we are is dust in the wind.
Right.
He got the dust in the wind part in, which he did it very effectively. That was almost too easy, though. That's just an expression. It's tougher to get an actual lyric in just because it doesn't necessarily fit grammatically.
Sure.
Like, how are you going to say all we are is dust in the wind? Tony, yeah, I was just thinking the other day, all we are is dust in the wind. And then Tony goes, do you want to see a therapist or something, Jesse? Are you okay?
Tony says, that's right.
So he got it in, and he definitely wins.
It's a work in progress. Jesse definitely seemed on board. He seemed to enjoy the idea.
I want Woods to come back next week. Well, actually, he won't be back next week.
We have six days to get a submission from Woods.
Well, hopefully we'll get a submission from Woods, and then he'll be able to listen to the payoff when he's back next Wednesday, finally. For next week's Incorporator. But I like the idea, just kind of running out of vocabulary words. I mean, not running out, but mixes it up a little bit, maybe for the rest of the season at least to do some song lyrics going forward for Jesse. So I'll give him the win, but we can maybe up our game next week.
I think so.
Perhaps.
I think so.
So I mentioned it was important for a number of reasons that the Padres win that game last night. Obviously, you don't want to just lose to the Dodgers, but every other team, the top six teams in the National League wildcard race, all won yesterday, which means you're giving up ground to everybody if you lose that game. The Braves, who are on top of the National League wildcard race by half a game, they beat the Brewers 5-1. The Mets, who remain fairly hot, got a absolute gem of a pitching performance from Sean Manaea. 7 innings, 2 hits, 11 strikeouts.
Good
and he's
God.
Been good for them. He's 7-4. They shut out the Twins 2-0 after routing the Twins in the first game of that series. How about the Cardinals and Tommy Pham in his first game back after
welcome
the trade deadline?
Back.
Welcome back, Tommy Pham. They bring him up, I believe, as a pinch hitter with the bases loaded. And he hits a grand slam in his very first at-bat back with the St. Louis Cardinals, and they beat the Rangers 8-1. And then the Pittsburgh Pirates are hot again. They made a couple of moves at the deadline. They were a 6-2 winner over the Houston Astros, their third straight win. And the Diamondbacks, who are just a half game behind the Padres and Mets for that second and third wild card slot, after rallying from four down in the ninth inning on Monday, they just obliterated the Nationals 17-0. Nationals have just said, we're done. Thank you very much. We're ready to go home now. Eugenio Suarez with three home runs. So every National League wild card contender has a bit of momentum now coming out of the trade deadline into the final 2 months of the season. So a loss last night would have been pretty costly for the Padres. The only team they actually gained any ground on were the San Francisco Giants, who lost to the Oakland A's, and they're now five games back. And
which kind of sucks. We've won, what, 8 of 9? 7 of 8?
Eight of the last 10 and 8 of the last 9, yeah.
Yeah, and you're just like, that's about as good as, and yet you still can't let your foot off the gas really even a little bit. Especially in this month of August, you have some very winnable games. We talked about it earlier. That's been your issue. That was your issue in the first half of the season. It was your issue for all of last season. Like, you have to beat the teams you are supposed to beat. And then you have to compete with the teams that are at a higher level.
And that's generally how it goes. Because post-trade deadline, there are more haves and more have-nots. The bad teams have gotten worse because they've traded away some players. The good teams generally get better. So generally, you do see some teams go on kind of good runs. Remember the Cardinals and their 17-game winning streak under Mike Schilt in 2021. You don't see good teams like the Padres collapse in 2021 happen very often, unless there are massive injuries, something weird that happens. Generally, these teams will play better now over the last 2 months. So 500 not going to cut it. You definitely have to play above 500 baseball over these last couple of months of the season. Padres got off to a good start. I don't know, the biggest trade deadline impact so far, Jazz Chisholm, has hit back-to-back two home run games for the New York Yankees. Just feels like he's just been invigorated with new life and leaving Miami and showing up in a pennant race, in a division race for the New York Yankees, who beat the Phillies 7-6 in 10 innings. And they seem to have stabilized a little bit after their rough start. So the Orioles probably a little more concerned now, because that's still a really close race in the National League or the American League East right now. So that's a little update on what went on in the National League wild card race last night. When we come back, we got another game tonight. Take a look ahead. Padres, Dylan Cease back on the mound, and that division race again. Why some experts from ESPN think absolutely the Padres could chase down the Dodgers in the National League West.
Okay.
We'll get to that coming up. Final segment of Ben and Woods before our roundtable at 10 o'clock. Ahead next here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. I got a much better tweet of the week already than Boomer. Sorry, Allie Rose. Welcome back. Ben, Paul with you until the roundtable gets started, our roundtable pizza roundtable at 10 o'clock. Saw this just a few minutes ago from our friend Jessica Kleinschmidt. Covers the A's. Guys out there, I mean, it must be very difficult to be a woman sometimes, especially one that covers sports. And she posted a screenshot of a, I guess you'd call it a pickup line. And it said, you must be glued to the phone for the deadline. All these trades going down. I'd sell the farm to acquire you. Give up whatever the asking price is. Winky tongue out emoji.
Hmm.
And she just tweeted, oh no. Okay. Must get a lot of that.
I don't even want to know.
Here's the problem with the system, and I certainly understand pickup lines, you know, bars and stuff. And
do people actually the women use who pickup must, lines?
Yeah, I think they do.
I don't know that they do.
Well, then, I mean, they're like,
nobody's ever walked like up zero in real to life 2%. To a girl and said, hey, did it hurt when
but
you fell from heaven?
Here's why the woods, system's broken. If a woman came up to you and said that, done. I'm in. That's like, I mean, it'd be 100% effective. Like, that would be, you'd absolutely have won me over. You come up with that line, and it's like, yeah, let's do whatever you want to do. Let's go. But
if a girl walked up to you and said, hey, you'd have been like, hey, it doesn't matter.
The
what
other
they
way
say.
Around, of course, it's just creepy and sad when you're sending it to Jessica on Twitter. But you know, she came up and she said that to someone, I'm sure they would go, yeah, Jess, whatever you want to do, let's go. Let's have a good time. It's like, this is a totally broken system. Yeah. The wrong people are using the pickup lines. They're never effective.
Like our girl, Katie Wu, she's told us several times, we're like, so what's it like, you know, what's the dating scene like in St. Louis? You know, how does that go for you? And she goes, not great, because once guys figure out, like, what I do, cover Major League Baseball, they get super intimidated and they don't know how to, like, just be normal. I feel bad for them.
I think it's so got to be difficult. It does. All right. Let's check traffic. I want to talk about this ESPN piece about the Padres chasing down the Dodgers in the National League West. Do they think it's possible still? Get to that after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So ESPN.com called this bit real or not. Maybe have we trademarked real or fake so they can't use that for tomorrow?
Yeah, I did that while you guys were...
This is real or not. And they asked questions of some of their baseball insiders. And this is Alden Gonzalez and Kylie McDaniel. And the question is, real or not, the Padres are a legitimate threat to win the National League after their reliever spree at the deadline. Not even the NL West, but the entire National League, win the pennant and go to the World Series. Alden Gonzalez, real. And he talked about, A.J. Preller driving to pick up, top players at the deadline. And he did acknowledge, he said, Padres' biggest need of the trade deadline was starting pitching, but they pivoted to impact relievers when they couldn't meet the demands at the top of the starter's market. Not getting that time of starter could ultimately hurt, but the Padres can now shorten games with the best of them. Their roster might be the most well-balanced among the NL wild card hopefuls. And that we talked a little bit about it with AJ Preller. That shortening of the games, if let's say the Padres are fully rested in their bullpen, they got the off day coming up on Friday, another one on Monday. So they're going to have probably a day pretty soon where they have everybody available. If they have to win a game, you could theoretically get 5 innings from your starter and then go Adrian Morejone. Actually, you get 4 innings of your starter. You go Adrian Morejone in the 5th, Jeremiah Estrada in the 6th, Jason Adam in the 7th, Tanner Scott in the 8th, and Robert Suarez in the 9th.
Yep.
I mean, you could literally go a 4-inning start and feel pretty good if you're up 2-0.
Yeah.
That you've got a good chance to win the game at that point. And while you don't always have those leads because you've had starters that have given up offense early, you might be able to tell your starter, hey, don't hold as much back for the 7th or 8th inning today. We're good with 5 at this point. We are very good. If you give us 5, we'd rather have 5 shutout than 8 giving up 2 or 3 runs. Now, early in the season, if you're a manager, you might take 8 innings, 2 or 3 runs versus 5 innings and 1 run or no runs. But now later in the season with this kind of bullpen, you might just say, go ahead and be a little more high leverage, a little reliever mentality as a starter, and just go out there and just give me as many outs as you can and just keep them off the board, and we'll get a lead and we can hand this thing over to this bullpen now and feel really good about our chances to win the game. So that was Alden Gonzalez. Kylie McDaniel.
And if you get 6 innings from your starter, then you can play the matchups.
Yeah,
and
great.
You have so many options.
You got tomorrow to think about. You got the next day. You're not going to do that. I don't think Mike Schilt's actually going to do that very often.
You're not going to have a fully rested bullpen every day.
But, in a playoff series where maybe there's a game and then an off day and then a game and stuff, you have that possibility.
AJ pretty much alluded to it when we had him on at 8 o'clock this morning, that those moves were playoff moves. They're going to help you in August and September,
but they're really supposed to help you in October.
But that's why you do that.
Yeah. Kylie McDaniel also agrees. He says, real. Padres sat at 63% playoff odds entering Tuesday. Imagine with a win, although since everyone else win, it's probably 63, 64% still. He says, after acquiring Jason Adam and Tanner Scott, and to a lesser degree, Martin Perez and Brian Hoeing, they added a win or two to their expected record. That might not seem like a lot, but they're at a high leverage part of the win curve in the thick of the playoff race. Now, that's a good point right there as well. If you're battling for the wild card and the difference is you just picked up a win or two wins, the difference between 86 and 87 might actually be a playoff spot. Now, the difference between 94 and 95 is irrelevant. The difference between 76 and 77, pointless at this point in the season. But if you're projecting the Padres to win between 84 and 86 games, if you did add a win or two, that might be the difference between, say, at 84 wins, you've got a 30% chance to make the playoffs, and at 86 wins, you've got an 80% chance to make the playoffs. Those might be the biggest one or two wins of your entire franchise, you know, based on what you did. So the Padres were in a spot where just picking up a win over the rest of the season could be incredibly important. And then he goes on and says kind of what you did, that the best relievers on a playoff team have an outsized impact in October, with a chance that each one could pitch in like every postseason game, given the spaced out scheduling and the way the games are tighter. And you pick up a guy like Tanner Scott, who we heard from Skip Schumacher this morning, doesn't mind pitching pretty much every day.
Yeah,
he wants to go out there every day. He wants to pitch almost every day. You've got a chance to really be aggressive if you're Mike Schilt with your bullpen usage, both down the stretch and hopefully in the playoffs. So, no, both of those guys with no skin in the game think Padres could be a World Series team now based on what they've done.
Do you remember the number? It was probably like maybe 2 weeks ago. We checked the FanGraphs playoff odds, what the Padres were. I want to say it was like around 35, 40%.
When they were, yeah.
Probably during
the kind of low point there, back to 500, or a game above 500 at the All-Star break. Yeah.
So they are currently, after yesterday's win, FanGraphs, just purely analytical, calculated odds, Padres are a 65.4% chance to make the playoffs. They have a 4.3% chance to win the whole effing thing. The way FanGraphs has it, yeah, the Phillies are going to win the NL East.
That doesn't seem like it much, but like 4.5%. But what are the Phillies acknowledged to probably be the best team right now?
Dodgers are still the favorites.
To win the whole thing?
To win the whole thing.
Okay, I would still say, though, even the favorite to win the whole thing is no more than 20%?
Oh, not even that. 15.7%.
So that's the Dodgers. So 15 is the absolute favorite. So being at around 5% is not like, oh my God, that's a horrible chance.
No,
it's 5% chance. Are the Padres that bad? No, the absolute best chance you have right now is 15%.
There are
to win
only
the World
three
Series.
Teams in baseball with double digit percent chance of winning the World Series. So that's mostly irrelevant. I focus more on just the making the playoffs. And right now the Padres are sitting at just over 65%.
Okay. That's 2-3 all of a sudden, basically, from where they were a couple of weeks ago, which is less than a coin flip. Now they've played their way into a 2-3 chance to make the playoffs. And as we've all acknowledged, if they get there, they should be a dangerous team that no one really wants to face in the postseason. Now you want to try to get the best seed possible, whether that's a wild card, and you know, try to earn that number one wild card spot so you can play that series at home, or better yet, chase down the Dodgers. Hey, chase down the Dodgers and the Brewers. Guess what? You get a bye in the first round. Padres are even closer, I believe, to the Brewers than they are to the Dodgers. If you chase down two of those teams, it's not out of the question that the Padres could finish with at least the second best record in the National League behind the Phillies. Yeah, the Brewers are 61-46. They're only 15 games above 500. So the Padres are 3.5 behind the Brewers, and 4.5 behind the Brewers, 5.5 behind the Dodgers. If you really do play well, a bye is not entirely out of the question. You do have to win the division, though, and that starts with probably winning tonight's game and sweeping the Dodgers, clinching the season series, something the Padres have not done against the Los Angeles Dodgers.
And you know what?
Since 2010.
I was much more nervous about yesterday, and I was feeling pretty good yesterday. You have to be more nervous with Waldron, who's been great all year. A huge surprise for the Padres. But you're throwing at home, coming off a no-no against old man Kershaw, who's only had one start this year. Go get that win tonight.
Yeah, you like the matchup. I mean, a lot of times guys coming off no-hitters, they've been stretched out, obviously, in their last start. There may be a little lingering fatigue. Dylan Cease did have that extra day. Hopefully that helps out. He threw, 114 pitches, was it, in the no-hitter?
Yep,
so you know, he's coming off one of his, if not the most, pitches he's thrown. I think most or second most he's thrown in a game all season. But Kershaw's not stretched out yet. He's thrown like four innings. You know, he's come back. He's not going to be able to give him a lot of length. Had to play a 10-inning game last night. Padres have new bullpen reinforcements coming in. Dodgers do, too. They've got Kopech I'd imagine will be available tomorrow after that trade as well. So,
any idea when the Padres new guys are going to be ready?
They should be ready today.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe they will be available for tonight's game. All three of the new relievers, which will be one of the topics we've got on the roundtable coming up, including, you know, what moves the Padres need to make. They'll have to make two roster moves today in their bullpen to decide who Hoeing and Scott are going to replace on the 26-man roster. We've also got our seventh-inning stretch question. And since you're not going to be there,
okay,
I will let you take a crack at it here before I unleash it on everybody else. And you know how I work. So Olympics are underway. Paulie, you get to be a world-class Olympian for one day. Which summer game sport do you choose to experience at the highest level? Like, you could be the greatest javelin thrower.
Like, I'm going to win.
You get to be a gold medal, like the top of the sport. But, like, just to feel what it's like, what sport would you pick?
Sprints.
Like, you want to be fast.
100 meter. To be the fastest man in the world.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, you want to feel what it's like to run a 9-plus second 100 meters. Like, you run across a football field in less than 10 seconds. You want to feel what that experience is like to be the fastest man in the world.
It sounds cool to say, yeah, I'm the fastest man in the world. Not I'm the best javelin thrower, I'm the best pole vaulter in the world. I am the fastest man in the world. Yeah.
That's a pretty cool answer, for sure. But there's also, like, some spectacular sports out there that you could be really good at that would be very cool.
Are you going to tell me yours, or are you going to wait?
I'm going to wait.
Okay.
I mean, I considered a lot, though. And can you imagine being the gold medalist in surfing for a day?
That'd be pretty cool.
To be like the number one surfer in the world, to experience that would be, I mean, just think of the thrill of being that guy who gets to surf like that. Thought about that one. Obviously, I am a golfer. Wouldn't it be great for a day to be the greatest golfer in the world and just the ball goes exactly where you want to all the time? So that's our seventh inning stretch question coming up in our roundtable, which starts in just a few minutes with the crew gathered today. Sammy Levitt filling in for Woodsy, and then the rest of us will talk about the Padres trade deadline moves and more coming up over the next 60 minutes. And then don't forget, tomorrow, not only will we have the Padres Dodgers series finale to talk about, but scheduled to join us, special guest host in studio for the second half of the program or so, the great Uncle Teddy, Ted Leitner, is going to be back. Padres ambassador extraordinaire, getting ready for his last season of Aztecs basketball later this year, that he's going to call before he hangs up the microphone. But I know Teddy's got a couple of good hot takes left in him, and I will be a little intimidated, but also very excited to sit down with Uncle Teddy
for
an hour or two tomorrow.
He'll be here?
I think, 8 a.m. I just texted him to see what he needs in his green room to make sure that we have everything prepared for him. I also told him to keep his expectations rather low. Our hospitality is not legendary here in the Odyssey Empire
Adam,
Studio.
Can we get, like, save some a round table of bottles pizza. Of water?
Save
maybe.
Some round table pizza for Ted Leitner, please, in the fridge. We'll break that out for him tomorrow. That's it for us. For Paul Reindl, I'm Ben Higgins. Talk to you on the roundtable next year on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.